This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Good morning and happy Thursday. It is B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP this week. Brian Mitchell going to be in with me in just a little bit. Going to get into some Nationals talk at the top of the show. Want to talk about the Nationals win last night as well as some interesting comments from Ken Rosenthal not that long ago talking about a potential trade, a superstar the Nationals could have on the block. I don't necessarily agree with that, but we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Coming up at 11, Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post is going to join us. He's been out in St. Louis, I believe, for the opening series for Miguel Cairo in his tenure as the interim manager. So we'll talk to him about that as well as get his thoughts on the new uniforms. Gary Clark, Redskins legend, going to join us coming up at 11:30. And of course, at 1 o'clock, we got Bleep You Thursday. Got plenty to get into with the Commanders as well. And we'll get back into the Nats here in just a second, but I got to start. So last night, I've started watching the quarterback series on Netflix, and it didn't really dawn on me until I was watching this full thing that every single quarterback that's featured in this had a signature win from the Commanders against them. Every single one of them. And it was cool to see through that lens to see the other sideline, the devastation, the frustration, wives crying, the annoyance of losing these games because Jaden Daniels was just too good. It was cool to see it through the other side. So if you don't know, Quarterback Season 2 just dropped on Netflix, I believe Monday. I can't remember exactly what day, but it was earlier this week sometime. And I think there's 7 episodes. I watched a couple the other day. I got to the last one last night, and I was like, screw it, I got to finish this thing, and watched the rest of it last night, 4 or 5 episodes of it, and it was awesome. It was really, really good. The guys that they were following, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, and Jared Goff. And so it was cool to see. I need to find the exact quote from, I texted it to some guys the other night, when Joe Burrow talks about playing in the game in week 3, it was the coming out party for Jaden Daniels. We all remember that Monday Night Football game and how awesome that game was. And Joe Burrow, after the game, was like, pretty tough when you play darn near perfect and lose. And that they did. They played really, really well. And it's crazy seeing how well Joe Burrow played last year. Shows you how bad that Bengals defense was and why Lou Anarumo no longer has a job with them. But it was crazy to watch how good he was playing, and yet on the other side, he gets out-dueled because Jaden Daniels is that special. So that's signature win number one against Joe Burrow. You get to see it through the lens of the Cincinnati Bengals. Then you advance further on into the year, and you get the whole saga of Kirk Cousins getting benched and Michael Penix taking over. And they don't spend as much time on this one because obviously the focus is on Kirk Cousins. But you get to see the playoff clinching win, Sunday Night Football, at Northwest Stadium against the Atlanta Falcons. Jaden Daniels finding Zach Ertz for the game-winning touchdown in overtime. You get to see that. And my favorite one was getting to see all the hype around Jared Goff, because he's the one that lasted the longest in this quarterback series in terms of his team continuing on into the playoffs. And it was so cool to see the anticipation and how excited they were and the expectation that they were going to win that game so they could go to the NFC Championship and maybe go to the Super Bowl and being the top team in the NFC. All that stuff, you know, the wives and the girlfriends and just the family and the trainers and everybody, just the excitement going into that game. Just for Jaden to step up and rip their heart out in Detroit in that playoff game, divisional round. Three signature wins for Washington, all featured in the new Netflix series Quarterback, albeit none of them were focusing on Jaden Daniels. None of them were focusing on Washington, but you get to watch it through the lens on the other side, and you know what's coming. And so you get to that final episode, you know that win against Detroit's going to be in there, and it's as good as you could think. It's as good as you could think, because you're getting... You really like these guys. Like, I really like Joe Burrow. I already really did like Joe Burrow, but you get a little more of understanding of who Joe Burrow is, and he's kind of a little dorky in some ways with he really likes history and different things, and I thought the series was really, really good. We've had this already with Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk does a fantastic job of marketing himself, and so you get to watch him once again go through an NFL season and Goff. And I think it was interesting to see peel back the layers and get to know Jared Goff a little bit. But it was really, really cool on the other side to be able to see Washington just devastate every single one of these quarterbacks, because we got the better one here in D.C. in Jaden Daniels. But getting into the Nationals, last night they get the first win in the Miguel Cairo as interim manager era. Mike DiBartolo as the general manager, interim general manager era. They win 8-2 last night. And it was nice to see. So Mackenzie Gore has been one of the best pitchers in the National League, one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball this season. Another great outing last night. Six innings, only gave up one run, gave up five hits, only walked one, struck out seven. Now, I would have considered going with him in the seventh inning. It was his last start before the All-Star break, but you know they ended up pulling him at 89 pitches. You've got a sizable lead, and that's something that Mackenzie Gore hasn't really had all season. When they pulled him from the game, they were up 7-1. I don't know the last time he's had seven runs of run support in a game in a long, long time. Matter of fact, if you just look at his last couple of games, chances are seven runs would have been as many as he's had the last three or four games in terms of run support. He just doesn't usually get any. That's why his record is 4-8, despite having an ERA of 3.02. He's been really, really good this year. But it was good to see him go out there and play well and actually have some run support and this team be able to get over the top and win one. So some things that were interesting about last night. Nat's Twitter was freaking out, which they do a really good job of. And I'm glad to see they're invested in the team, but it's not always the smartest group in terms of some of the things that are being said on Nat's Twitter. So a lot of fans were freaking out because Andre Pallante was starting for the St. Louis Cardinals. And if you remember back when the Cardinals were in town, Andre Pallante, who has an ERA just under 4.50, coming into the game yesterday had an ERA of 4.10, got raised up a little bit because he gave up seven earned runs. But coming into the start when the Nationals first saw him on May 10th, he came in with an ERA of 4.75. And then he proceeded to go 7 1/3, give up only two earned runs, five hits, gave up one homer, and struck out seven. He was really, really good when he pitched here. And it was interesting to see the way that Miguel Cairo, and I don't know if this is different than how Davey would have done it, I'm not sure. But Miguel Cairo, because of the way that Andre Pallante pitches, decided to go with a righty-heavy lineup. So generally, if you've watched this team this year, you understand that they are a very left-handed, heavy-hitting lineup. It's something that I can't remember exactly what team it was, if it was the Rangers. I can't remember exactly who it was. There was a road series the Nationals were playing, and that specific team in their history had only faced an all left-handed lineup twice in their entire history. And when they played the Nationals, all three games, they trotted out an all lefty and switch hitting lineup. So needless to say, this is a very left-hand dominant batting order. But yesterday, with a right-hander on the mound, Miguel Cairo decided to go righty-heavy and get a lot of the guys on the bench involved. And I saw Nat's Twitter freaking out. Part of the reason they go with this, Pallante throws a nice fastball with a little bit of cut. The Nationals really, really struggled against that when he was here. The Nationals change it up. You get Amed Rosario. People were complaining that Amed Rosario was in the game instead of Luis Garcia. Amed Rosario hit one of the farthest home runs you'll see for the Nationals this year. Absolutely crushed one. Had a little fun with it. Stared at it for a little bit. James Wood also homered in this one. But I think overall you saw Nathaniel Lowe also with a home run. I think you saw a lineup that had some excitement again. And I don't know, maybe they still are able to get to Pallante if they have the lefties in there, but Miguel Cairo definitely pulled the right strings last night in the way that he constructed that lineup. Not to say that I'm always going to be an apologist for Cairo, but you know, I don't mind sometimes thinking outside the box, especially when what they've been doing most of this season hasn't been working. So I don't mind trying different things. But the thing that I thought was most interesting about last night, with the way that that game last night, was after Amed Rosario and after Nathaniel Lowe and after James Wood hit the home run, there was something that we saw that we haven't seen in quite some time. And it wasn't anything crazy. It wasn't anything really on the field. But we saw them throw on the Uncle Slam hat. Remember last year they wear the big old Uncle Sam looking hat. They called it the Uncle Slam. Amed Rosario threw on a nice jacket. And you saw exuberance in that dugout again. And I don't know where that went. I don't know if that was a Davey thing saying, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not a good enough ball club. I don't know. But I'm not quite sure where that went and why that ever was not a thing. Because every team has one of these things, seemingly. You watch a Red Sox game, they hit a home run, they throw on the stupid mascot head that they... You have, I don't know if the Angels still do it, but they would throw on like a samurai helmet. I don't know exactly. It's all dumb stuff. It's nothing that ultimately changes the way that the game is played. But there should be an excitement. There should be an energy. And it seemed like this team hasn't had that for quite some time. And I don't know how much of that is Davey. I don't know if that's the players. You need guys to step up. Because that's one thing that I think has been interesting throughout the discourse of the whole... Were they right to fire Mike Rizzo? Were they right to fire Davey Martinez? Something that's been really interesting to me about that whole discussion is a lot of the blame has gone on Davey. And I fully understand that in terms of the way that this team has played, the lack of discipline at times, the same mistakes being repeated over and over. That stuff to me, I can understand being Davey's fault. What I don't get, though, is where is that veteran leadership in the clubhouse to step in and make some of those things happen? I mean, Bemich and I have been talking about this week, where the best teams in professional sports are player-led. Not to say that the coach doesn't get involved, doesn't help lead the ball club, doesn't help lead the football team, basketball team, whatever it may be. But the players keep each other accountable. The players provide the energy. The players provide all of that. Where the heck did that go? Where did that go? And I think you're missing probably their main guy in terms of energy in that clubhouse, because you think about some of the top dogs in that clubhouse. James Wood, love the guy. No one would claim that he's the most exuberant individual in the world. And that's fine. I'm not saying he has to be. But his personality isn't, you know, overly rah-rah. Totally fine. He's our nonchalant prince. We love him. CJ Abrams, very quiet. He has some aura to him. He has some swag. But again, not a rah-rah guy. Mackenzie Gore, he's got a fire to him, but it's not always like an outward fire to rah-rah the entire team. He's got enough burning inside for him. He's not necessarily providing that for the entire ball club. And think around the rest of the club. Not like Josh Bell's like that. Nathaniel Lowe's a fun, loving, goofy guy, but it's not as if he's got that. I think Dylan Cruz does provide a lot of that. I think he does. I think he provides that energy to the ball club. I think he's a winning ball player. I don't think it's any coincidence that the losing streak and this bad streak has all come after Cruz was out. And I know Landfill's not the biggest Cruz fan. You go look at his numbers. His numbers aren't exactly great, but he makes winning ball plays. He's a winning ball player. And I think that's something that numbers can't quantify, that you can't necessarily break down with a percentage or a number of any sort. But I do think that he has an impact on this team. Even a guy like Nassim Nunez, when he was around the ball club, his energy, his upbeat, the way that he goes about his business is infectious. And I think they were lacking a little bit of that. So to see last night, they hit home runs, and I'm not saying they're going to rattle off a bunch of wins in a row now because they're wearing the stupid Uncle Slam hat. I don't know. No idea. But I don't know where that went, because this is a young ball club, and you got to go out there and play like it. You got to go out there and have some fun, because if you take that away and it becomes just such a grind, especially in Major League Baseball where you're playing 162 games, it does get monotonous. There has to be some excitement. There has to be some energy brought to the ballpark every single night by the guys. I don't know. It just felt like there wasn't a lot of that, and maybe some of that falls on Davey, but I think in terms of the energy, that's not necessarily on the manager. And I think that been lacking from this team at times. And so it's good to see that stupid little things like the Uncle Slam hat after a home run are back. Now, again, I'm not defending Davey Martinez because, frankly, I was not really ever a fan aside from the 2019 postseason, the way that he managed in games. But I'm curious to see if there's going to be differences in the way that Cairo and Davey manage, because I don't know how much of an imprint that Cairo can leave in his time as the manager that Davey didn't have. They obviously worked together. You heard from the introductory press conference of sorts that, you know, Cairo was emotional talking about how much Davey meant to him. So I don't think they're going to have super different philosophies. You're not going to see anything crazy. But I am curious to see DeBartolo. And I think he's actually auditioning for this general manager job. He's got the leg up on the other candidates that may be interviewed in the offseason, where he's got an opportunity to go through a trade deadline and he can make moves that can set this team up for the future. Like, look at last year with some of the guys they were able to get for Andres Chaparro, for Dylan Floro, who Dylan Floro was DFA'd by the end of the year by the Diamondbacks. Look at Lane Thomas, who is on the trade block again and hasn't been as good with Cleveland as he was here. And you get an Alex Clemmie, who's in the Futures game in Atlanta coming up in just a couple of days. Like, those sorts of moves Rizzo was really, really good at. Let's see if DeBartolo can do something similar to that, while also, and it's tough to tell in just a half year, but is he going to nail this draft? Let's see what it looks like. And I thought it was interesting yesterday with Joe Doyle being on the show talking about whether you'd go Holiday, whether you'd go Anderson. And he talked about Cade Anderson being the pick, and not necessarily because of the talent. And it's there. I think the top two guys, consensus, would be Holiday and Anderson. And I don't think there's a wrong pick there. So if you're team Holiday and they pick Anderson, I don't think it's something where you're going to be incredibly frustrated and vice versa. But do you go with a Cade Anderson to say, hey, we got him to double A this year. Look how well he's pitching. Give me another shot at this. Let's see if I can stick in this job. Because to me, Cairo is very unlikely to stick around as the full-time manager after this season. But I think there is a good shot that DeBartolo is going to stick around as the real general manager of this ball club. You take away the interim tag and becomes the general manager of this ball club going forward. If that's the case, he's got an opportunity to set up this team and himself going forward. So it's going to be interesting to watch those guys. One of the things that DeBartolo's got to make a decision on, though, is what he's going to do at the deadline and going into the offseason with some of the names on this team that are available. I think Michael Soroka, we understand that he's available. Kyle Finnegan,
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, Lowe potentially, even though he's under contract next year, I know he's a numbers guy. The numbers people over at Nats Park didn't necessarily love the Nathaniel Lowe trade. Could he be on the move? I don't know that anybody's in on Josh Bell. Maybe someone's in on Ahmed Rosario because of the way that he crushes lefties. But there's another name that Ken Rosenthal brought up that the Nationals could consider trading. I hate the idea. I think it's incredibly stupid. But it seems like this idea has been floating around a little bit more. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Just a couple of weeks away from the MLB trade deadline, and some interesting names could be available. ESPN had just put out a piece today. I think maybe Passan had written it, and we're coming up not that far away, and some of the names that are being mentioned, like a David Bednar from Pittsburgh, could go to Detroit. Could Jaron Duran from Boston be on the move to the Padres? Josh Naylor from Arizona on the move to Seattle, or some of the guys that are mentioned here. What's interesting is there's another name that has been thrown around from the Nationals that could be available. And I don't really believe it. I don't tend to buy into it. But Ken Rosenthal, one of the most respected baseball writers that you got here in the game, had this to say the other day on, I believe, the Foul Territory podcast.
They don't really have a lot to trade. Kyle Finnegan would be their most interesting guy on an expiring contract. Mike Soroka would have some interest to teams, perhaps. As for the others, Nathaniel Lowe is on a two-year deal, expires after 26. He's not performing that well. There isn't that much that they necessarily would want to do. The one guy that I find very interesting is Mackenzie Gore, all-star left-hander, who is at the same level of service that Juan Soto was when the Nationals traded him to the Padres at the 2022 deadline. And you might say, well, why would you trade Mackenzie Gore? Well, he's represented by Scott Boras. Scott Boras generally likes his clients to establish their values on the open market. An extension would appear unlikely, especially with the Nationals not spending the way they once did. So that would be admitting that the team needs to go backwards before going forwards again. And maybe the Nationals don't want to admit that, but their system is not in a place to support Gore and James Wood and CJ Abrams. They've got those three guys from the trade, and then might get a few others from that trade as well. But it will be interesting to me to see if they are willing to entertain Gore, because that guy, if he got out there, then we're talking a monster package in return. And let's face it, they need more players.
If they were to trade Mackenzie Gore, they would get a lot in return. There's no question about it. But if you were to trade Mackenzie Gore, see if anyone shows up to the ballpark the rest of the year. See if anyone wears Nats gear around the DMV ever again. Seriously. at some point you have to put a reasonable product on the field. And one of the few things that is worth watching on this ball club, especially on the pitching staff, is Mackenzie Gore. He's about to represent your team in an all-star game. He's turned into the guy that we all thought he would become when you traded for him in the Juan Soto deal. He was once the top pitching prospect in all of baseball. He was once that guy. And if you watched him the last couple of years, you saw that he had immense potential. You saw that he had this kind of potential. You saw that. The pitch mix was always there. He's got elite stuff. There's no question about it. It was just about continuing to get better each and every year and grow in his arsenal, sure, in his command, sure. But I think the big thing for him was growing in his mentality on the hill as an ace. And you've seen that this season. He's taken that next step. So when you look throughout his career, he's improved every single year as a starter. So going back to 2022, when he first made his debut with the Padres, he finished with a 4.50 ERA. 2023, slightly better. First year with the Nats, 4.42 ERA. Stuff was better than that, but a 4.42 ERA. Last year, had a really good stretch to start the year. Finished well. There was a stretch in the middle that he struggled. Still, though, improved by half a run, down to a 3.90 ERA. This year, in 19 starts, 3.02 ERA. That's improvement every single season. And by the way, each year, the strikeouts have gone up. 72 in 13 starts in 2022, 151 in 136 innings and 27 starts in 23. Last year, 181 strikeouts in 166 innings and 32 games started. And this year, 138 strikeouts so far in 110 innings and 19 starts. He's getting better year after year after year. You're seeing improvement. And I don't think now's the time to move on from him. You've still got him under control for at least a couple more years. Now, I think having a discussion about maybe moving him in the offseason, even though I would absolutely hate it, I think that's more reasonable. But at the deadline, you think Mark DeBartolo is going to take over this thing on the interim basis and then just suddenly decide that now it's time to move on? I can't get on board with that. I can't. I just don't think it would make much sense. Yeah, you could get some really, really good players. There's no question about it. If you were to trade Mackenzie Gore, he would be the belle of the ball in trade deadline talks. There's no question about that. He'd be the top dude on the market. And so you could get a lot for him. But for every single Juan Soto trade, which, by the way, there's only been one ever like it, where you end up with so many good players, three all-stars in the same trade, three building blocks in the same trade, which, by the way, that's what they should be, building blocks, not trade bait, not guys that stick around for a few years and then you flip again, building blocks. James Wood should be a National for life. CJ Abrams should already have been extended. Mackenzie Gore, you should be working to extend him right now. Those guys should be sticking around. You don't have trades like the Juan Soto trade pop up very often, because for every single one of those, which again doesn't happen often, there's the Mookie Betts trade. Go find how many Mookie Betts players that the Red Sox acquired are doing anything for them. One of the dude's names was Jeter. Imagine the Red Sox trading for a dude named Jeter. And how'd that go? Jeter Downs was playing for the Nationals not that long ago, and he wasn't even playing for the Nationals. He was just on the roster. It's terrible. So for every one of those where you feel like you get guys, they don't turn into anything. Because what if you trade Mackenzie Gore and you get a top prospect and you get Carter Kieboom? How'd that work out, right? How'd that work out in terms of what Carter Kieboom was supposed to be? What if you trade top prospect, or you trade Mackenzie Gore and you get one of the top prospects in baseball and it's Victor Robles? He had some okay time here. Is it worth Mackenzie Gore for 2 years? I don't understand this idea that the team should move Mackenzie Gore. I just don't think it would make any sense. I don't think if you're a Nats fan, it would give you much to care about on this team. You'd still have James Wood. But then I question, if we're doing this bit where anytime someone has value, we should just move them, then why the heck wouldn't you entertain Wood? Why the heck wouldn't you entertain Abrams? What's the point where you stop? Because as much as he wants to say that there's nothing in the farm system and doesn't have the system to back this thing up, let's go around the diamond real quick and see where they could use real improvements. Left field is set. James Wood, cornerstone, superstar. No question. Center field, likely set. Not talking about Jacob Young, but talking about Dylan Cruz, and we can have a discussion about his value there, but Dylan Cruz is your center fielder, likely. Corner outfield spot, that could be either Lyle, that could be Robert Hassel. I would like for that to be a bat that you go sign, but okay, you got one corner outfield spot open, you got your fourth outfielder figured out in Jacob Young or Dalen Lyle or Robert Hassel. By the way, you've got three guys for two spots there if you're not going to spend money. So one of those dudes could get traded in the offseason to bring in someone to help out this ball club. At third base, Brady House. All right, you like what you've seen so far. You want to see that power start showing up, but he's a prospect. It takes time to adjust. And so we'll see if he can get to that spot. But third base, you don't feel like a pressing need right now because you're still evaluating House. Shortstop, C.J. Abrams. Obviously, we know how good he is. First base right now, Nathaniel Lowe. I think you could use an upgrade there if they're going to spend money. But if not, that's a guy that's on pace for 20-plus homers and near 100 RBIs, plays decent defense. Okay, reasonable, even though it's not the power hitter, even though it's not the big-time formidable bat in the middle of the lineup. Okay, I can understand if you want to improve there, but it's okay. Second base, I think you can use improvement. No question about it. Luis Garcia has been horrible defensively, one of the worst, if not the worst, infield defenders this season. And specifically at second base, he's been atrocious. So, okay, maybe you want to improve in second base. Catcher, I don't think I need to have a discussion here. They have to improve a catcher. There's no question about that. So you've got catcher and you've got second base, really, for me. And I'd like them to spend at right field. But I think I can make some things happen with that lineup, especially if they can fix some of the errors in terms of base running and we can figure some stuff out. Okay, better there. Starting pitching, that's an issue. By the way, if you trade Mackenzie Gore, you have no one that you can rely on in this rotation. And this team might not win much at all if you move on from Mackenzie Gore, and then you're probably trading Soroka as well. Trevor Williams is out for the rest of this season. He has a partial UCL tear. He's probably out until, at best, early next year. And also, Trevor Williams wasn't even that good when he was pitching, so it's not that big of a deal. But, okay, you need to improve in starting pitching, and you need to improve in the bullpen. By the way, bullpen is when you can actually bargain hunt. You just got to do a better job than Poche, Sims, and Lopez. That's where you can actually spend some money, but don't have to spend as much as you maybe think to build a decent bullpen. So I don't think they're close, but I also don't think they're as far as Rosenthal's making them sound. And when you look at their top prospects, you've got guys that are coming down the line, maybe not right away, but you've got guys coming down the line that can help this team out. Travis Sikora, the timeline on pipeline says 27. He just got shut down for a little bit longer, but he's all the way up to AA. Susana has been injured as well. He's in AA. We'll see about Seaver King. I talked about Alex Clemmie, someone they acquired, a pitcher that they acquired in the Lane Thomas deal. Seaver King being the shortstop, then can play the outfield, kind of utility-ish guy that they drafted in the first round last year. Like, I'm not necessarily saying any of these guys are particularly close, but their system is not as bad. Maybe it doesn't stack up with the Dodgers. I don't know that any of these guys, with the exception of Sikora and Susana, maybe Clemmie, are big-time impact guys, like stars or dudes that you can build around. But I still don't understand the idea that you would move on from Mackenzie Gore when you know you have a superstar in place. And I get his point that he's repped by Boris. He's likely to hit free agency. The chances of them signing him are very, very low. But I just don't think that now is the time to have that consideration of trading Gore. In the offseason, I think it's another discussion, and I think it's something that we could probably mull over, even though I wouldn't love it, because at some point you do need to create a winning ball club, and I hate this idea that you're just going to create this vicious cycle of trading every good player for prospects over and over and over again and hoping at some point that your timelines match up to create a winning ball club again. But I just don't think at this deadline it would make any sense to me to move on from him. I just don't. I think, especially with everything that you've gone through this past week with moving on from Rizzo, moving on from Davey. There's already a lot of turmoil with Nationals fans. Do you think it's a good idea to go ahead and throw a match onto the gasoline in terms of what this fan base is right now and trade Mackenzie Gore? Because that return would have to be incredible. I would need to get a couple big-time guys that I could see in the big leagues relatively soon, because your timeline is still whatever James Wood is here for, and that's still a few more years. That's still at least through 2030 in terms of control that you have for him. So now's not the time to move off of all this stuff. I just think it would be incredibly foolish for them to decide to do what Rosenthal had suggested and move off of Mackenzie Gore. And I don't think, frankly, if I were ownership too, I don't think I'm giving an interim general manager like Mike DiBartolo the option to trade him in the middle of the season when who knows if he's going to be your general manager going forward. In the offseason, if I remove the interim tag and you want to make a move, sure. But an interim GM trading the ace of the staff and a superstar in the sport and someone that's still incredibly young, that I don't think there's a likely chance that you could sign him, but there's still at least a chance, I think that would be incredibly stupid. So I just don't see that happening. Talking about guys that are in some turmoil, I don't know if you saw this morning with Terry McLaurin. So he put something on his Instagram story, and I don't know what to make of it. He put out, "I wake up and go get that cake. I ain't the type to relax." Jeff, you're big in lyrics and everything. Does this mean anything? Are we getting a Terry contract soon? Is he trying to stir up? What are we getting here?
My man just saying he wake up and grind. I wouldn't look too deep into that.
And I don't. I'm not. Terry's not one that's been a diva. He's not one that's throwing crazy shade or anything. But really, that's the first thing we've heard from Terry is, "I wake up and go get that cake. I ain't the type to relax." Regardless, Terry McLaurin, the contract situation, we got a little more of an update from James Palmer yesterday. We'll play that for you next. Sounds like there's still been some contact despite the issues with the contract. Is it going to get resolved? We'll continue talking about Terry McLaurin next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back. Be Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP all week. Brian Mitchell going to join me in just a little bit. Coming up at 11 o'clock as well, Barry's Feluga, the Washington Post, and 11:30. Redskins legend Gary Clark going to join the program. Right now, talking about another receiver in the burgundy and gold, Terry McLaurin, dealing with the contract situation. We got an update, not necessarily on the contract situation itself, but that Dan Quinn still staying in touch with Terry McLaurin. Here's James Palmer with that report.
He held out of OTAs, held out of minicamp. Let's remember this, though. Dan Quinn has stayed in constant contact with Terry McLaurin throughout this offseason. It hasn't been contentious in that sense to where he's separate from the organization. Is there distance? Is there frustration here as well? Certainly. Did they make really any headway through the entire month of June? To my understanding, no, they really didn't. And they were pretty far apart in really making any sort of progress. Now, he has comparable numbers to some of the players that have been paid. Obviously, that's part of Terry's argument. Does he want to reset the market? No. We understand Jamar Chase at that $40 million. But what he's looking at, in my understanding, more importantly, is that there's seven players making 30 or more. And you look at a guy who's a number two wide receiver in T. Higgins that's making it about 28. Terry understands that he should be, and I agree with this, in those 30s numbers.
And I think he should be in those 30s numbers as well. Now, how far up into the 30s is a question that, you know, I think needs to be answered. To me, I'm willing to go as high as necessary, because what's an extra $3-5 million at this point? If Jaden Daniels had been paid and he's getting the ridiculous contracts that quarterbacks are getting now, then yeah, we can have a discussion about maybe needing to penny pinch a little bit. But right now, I don't think is the time to look at it and say, oh, okay, I can't give an extra $2-3 million because we got to make sure that we're really careful. And I get that you have to set yourself up down the line, but I'm not all that worried about giving him an extra couple that's going to lead to, quote unquote, an overpay. So it's good to hear that there's at least still been contact. I was never all that worried that there's some sort of contention or any sort of narrative around that. I'm not worried about that. The thing that has me a little bit concerned going into training camp is I would just need to make sure that he's there at some point in the first couple weeks of training camp. Because I think if you're getting into the middle of August, if you're starting to play football games, just preseason games, but specifically if you're actually playing games and Terry's not there, you're getting to a point where could this affect the beginning of the season? And that's what I don't want to get to. Right? I don't want to, because think about, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk, someone who San Francisco kind of had this back and forth with. Are they going to sign him? Are they going to trade him? What are they going to do? And what do you see that happened with Brandon Ayuk? The injury, I don't know if that's avoidable, because that's something that's long-term. I think he tore his ACL, right? Like, that was something that I don't know that that's necessarily something that happens because he was late to training camp or anything of that nature. But remember watching Brandon Ayuk early in the season. He wasn't good. He just wasn't. Plain and simple, he was not. And so I don't want something that is suddenly going to affect the first 5-6 weeks of the season where Terry's getting back into football shape. Because as much as you go out there and you do play, and I don't doubt that Terry's working his butt off so that as soon as he shows up to training camp that he's getting everything done and he's able to hit all his markers, he's able to go out there and still play at an incredibly high level. I'm not worried about any of that. I think Terry's going to come in shape. But there's a difference between working out, doing all your individual exercises, and getting out there and playing football and being in football shape. And so I'm not that worried even if he misses the first week of training camp. Now, the conversation then is going to pick up much more, because I would assume he's going to hold out. So, or maybe he's going to hold in. He'll be in the building, but he's not going to participate. So I can understand that the conversation will pick up then. But even if we're getting to the point where they report on July 22nd and we're July 26th, July 27th, July 28th, wrapping up the month of July, and you still haven't signed Terry. Okay, the conversations will be very, very prevalent. But even then, I'm still not massively worried. I'm not panicking yet. I would get to that point, though, if maybe the deadline for me is, I think they have a joint practice. Is it the 2nd of August? I think their joint practice with the Patriots is right around then. Maybe that is the cutoff point for me. Where if you get to that joint practice, which, okay, it takes place August 6th. August 6th in Foxborough, and then I believe they play August 8th, maybe? Yeah. So August 6th is the joint practice. August 8th is the first game. I think that's kind of my cutoff point. If Terry McLaurin hasn't signed a contract by that joint practice, then I think we can have a real discussion about hitting the panic button. Until then, your concern level may continue to grow, but I'm not going to, you know, break glass in case of emergency and slam that button. I'm going to wait until we get to that point. But my big thing about this is you have to find a way to get this guy paid. He just means too much for the organization. Joel Corey, a cap guy, former agent, writes for CBS Sports, wrote something interesting. So he talked about, this is from his article, which he, I think, just wrote yesterday. He says, another data point that could be useful in adjusting McLaurin's existing contract for salary cap inflation. The salary cap has increased by 34.1% since McLaurin signed in 2022. His deal is a little less than $31.125 million per year when factoring in salary cap growth. So if you just did that and you said, hey, all right, Terry, we're going to sign you for around that number would be just over 3 for 93. I think I'd be fine to go to 3 for 100, maybe a little bit more, depending on the guarantees and what you're doing. But that's why I think it's a little bit crazy that some people are saying that, oh, he's not a $30 million receiver. The salary cap has gone up and up and up, and it goes up every single year. And so if you're just going off of the same percentage of the salary cap that he signed for in 2022 to what he could sign for now, he'd get over $31 million. So I get the idea that he shouldn't get 30 is a little bit wild to me. And I get the age thing, but to me, that's the only thing that's the holdup. That's it. And I know it's a big factor, because when you sign contracts, obviously a big part of it is your production, injury history, age, all those things. But that's the only holdup for me. The production is there. The injury history has been basically squeaky clean. He's played a lot of football and had no issue doing so. By the way, I say he's played a lot of football. He's played consistently in the National Football League, but in college, it's not like he was the number one receiver. It's not like he was getting excessive amounts of hits in college. I wonder, we talk about this with running backs sometimes, right? You get a guy like a Derrick Henry who has proved to be incredibly durable, but he ran the ball a lot in high school. He ran the ball a lot in college. He's now run the ball a lot in the pros. Does that factor into contracts with those sorts of guys? Does it play the other way at wide receiver when Terry McLaurin theoretically doesn't have the mileage and hits on him like some of these other guys because he wasn't getting the ball as much at Ohio State? I don't know. I don't know how much that plays in. But to me, age is the only thing that is the holdup on Terry McLaurin's contract. That's it. And so to me, you look at the way that he's played. He had a career year last year. And generally, when you look at a guy's prime, specifically at the receiver position, you're looking around that 26, 27 to right around the age 30 time frame, and that's kind of when you start to see a little bit of a fall off. But that's changed. That's changed in terms of seeing guys kind of fall off a little bit. And to me, even a diminished McLaurin of sorts is still a good enough receiver that, yeah, maybe in 2 to 3 years paying him $30 million in overpay, but I'd still be willing in 2 to 3 years probably just banking on the talent that he has. I still think that you could make the argument that by then he's still a $23, $24, $25 million receiver. And again, since it doesn't coincide with Jaden getting his massive payday, I think that's when you can make these sorts of deals and live a little bit with, well, maybe we did slightly overpay. I think that's when you can do it. I'd have no issue with this contract negotiation and being a little bit more frugal and being very careful about pinching every penny and making sure that you're being extra careful not to overspend if Jaden Daniels was already cashing in as one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, because that's what he's going to be. But this this Terry contract, to me, doesn't coincide at all with Jaden's timeline. Matter of fact, it works out perfectly so that Jaden's going to get his big payday as McLaurin's contract is coming off the books. So to me, just figure out what that number is. I would assume for me, if I'm Terry, I'm starting around that DK contract, 33. The increased number, like we just talked about, is a little over 31. I'm starting somewhere in that range. And if the Commanders aren't willing to come up there, then it gets interesting. But I would think that they're willing to get a deal done. I don't think they want to see Terry leave this building. Coming up next, Barry Sferluga, the Washington Post, is going to join us. Want to get his thoughts as he's out in St. Louis covering the first series for Mike DiBartolo and for Miguel Cairo as interim GM and manager. Get his thoughts on that, as well as the Commanders' new uniforms that were unveiled yesterday. Barry Sferluga joins us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.